Welcome to the April 27th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, and the sermon is entitled Belief versus Behavior, Part 3, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Go to your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 2, Galatians chapter number 2, and I want you to know, I see the time, and I'm not going to look at it again, okay? I know what time it is. I will try to make those changes along the way, but I also want to do God's good service through His Word today as well. And so as we do that, aren't you grateful to see the blessing of baptism and God working? I'm grateful for that, and my prayer that that has challenged you. I just got to get you up to date real quick. Because what has happened is we have been 3 weeks into an Easter message, and we got out of Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, Paul is trying to defend grace and trying to defend the faith and trying to defend why he believes what he believes, especially to even the church leadership. If you remember that we talked about Paul was concerned that many of the leaders were adding to what it took to be saved. It wasn't just Jesus. It was Jesus plus circumcision or Jesus plus foods or Jesus plus rule following. And Paul calls out the leadership of the church, and he calls out even Peter in that, because Peter was acting one way around the Jewish-backed Christians and another way with the Gentile-backed believers. And so we pick up on the heels of that today. Have you ever had to justify yourself to somebody before? Maybe a job, maybe a raise. Maybe you had to give a reason of why you deserve something. But for us today, we're going to look at that word justify or justification, because in this teaching today, we understand, how does a sinful man or woman come into a relationship with a holy God? We cannot do it on our own merit, in our own strength, by any measure of works. It must be faith in Jesus Christ. And that's Paul's legitimate argument today that we will see. But the Old Testament is full of laws. And here's the reality of the law of the Old Testament. It is impossible to keep all of the law, all 613 commandments, and not break one of them. It is impossible to do that. How many husbands in here will testify that it's impossible to follow the three instructions your wife leaves you to do? Well, you get where I'm going with that. Just like Christians, be reminded of 613 rules, and you could not break one of them, or you were guilty of them all. You were guilty of it. And so a sacrificial system was put in place, and that is where you get the sacrifices of goats and birds and remission for the sin. Blood had to be shed. But justification, as I remember it growing up as a little boy, I still remember what our pastor told us. To be justified means it is just if I'd never sinned. So it spells it out for you. Just if I'd never sinned. When you are saved by the grace of God, it carries with it a courtroom enactment, a judgment that you are declared not guilty. Even though you deserve it, even though it should be, you should be condemned, you are justified not by yourself, not by your own defense, only by Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. So, because of that, we are pronounced in the courtroom not guilty, and we are righteous by the righteous judge that is God because of our faith. Now that happens when you get saved. There's no special thing that has to happen. When you accept the Lord, you are justified as well. But you're going to see that word today. So real quickly, verses 15 and 16, Galatians chapter number 2. We're going to start with verse 15 and go to 16. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I'm going to give you a little heads up. The ending of this chapter and chapter number 3, we're going to get into some weeds. And these are hard principles to understand, but they are the basis of our faith. That's why Paul is so adamant to defend them. But the first thing that you need to understand very clearly today, it's faith, not law. Faith, not law, that saves you. Faith, not the law. So as we read these two pieces of scripture, Paul identifies himself as those with a Jewish background. Now remember, he has been arguing with Peter, and he's in verse number 14, he uses I, and in verse number 15, he uses the word we. So he is identifying himself with those of a Jewish background. If you remember, he testified that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and before Agrippa that he lived as a Pharisee. And so we understand that. He was dedicated to the law. He knew the law, but here's what he realized very quickly. The law cannot and will not save you. And so now he is defending being justified by faith in Jesus. Here's what he says in verse number 16. If you take the we from verse number 15, and he says, we, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. So he says, we know. He's written to the Romans. He has preached now to the Galatians. And here's what he is saying. There is one thing that declares us not guilty before God. There's only one thing that can declare you not guilty, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that cleanses you of the punishment of death. But you need to underline that word know, because knowing is more than just a mental agreement or a mental assent. It is knowing in such a way that it impacts all of your life. I'm going to say that again. This knowing means it impacts every part of your life. It's not knowing about Jesus here and living how you want to. It's knowing Jesus, believing in him, and allowing Jesus to change your life. So we understand it's more than a mental agreement, and it impacts your life. But growing up a Jew, Paul, he understands the law, and he understands trying to defend it. And he says this, we know the law doesn't render us guilty. We know that we don't need circumcision to get right with God. All we need is an interaction with Jesus Christ and for Jesus to change your life. You need to come to him by faith. So he is saying, we agree. We agree and we know. Look at verse number 16 again. The middle of that says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For the second time, here's what he's saying. It's not the law, but it's faith. And not only do we know it, we have to believe it. And so both have placed their faith in Jesus. And here is what faith in Jesus does. It gives you a freedom from the law. It gives you a freedom. You may not like pork chops. I love pork chops. Why can I tell you that? Because I'm free from the Old Testament law. If we were Jewish people, we could not enjoy that. And it is not an abstaining from food that saves you. It is a faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Amen? So that's why we don't abstain from that anymore. But here it gives you freedom. And Paul and Peter say that we believe in that freedom that coming to Jesus in faith gives us, because we know we cannot follow every law to the T. There's a third thing. Look at the end of verse number 16. It says this, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There is no action good enough. There is no law strong enough to declare someone righteous or free of sin and of its penalty of death. The only thing that can free you from that is the gift through Jesus Christ that we receive by faith. And so here's my question. As I boil that down, do you have saving faith this morning? And here's basically what I'm asking you. Do you have faith in Jesus? I'm not asking you how much scripture you know. I'm not asking, do you follow it to a T? I'm asking, do you understand that Jesus loved you enough that he took your sin that separated you from a holy God to an old rugged cross, and he died on that cross in your place? He took your death and he laid in a tomb for 3 days, and he rose on the third day to give you life forever by the faith that you will trust him with. Do you have that kind of faith? And that kind of faith, not here, but it impacts every aspect of your life. You should not be different at work than you are at home or church. You should not be different at home than you are at church. And you should not be different at church than you are anywhere in the world because of Jesus. It's faith, not the law. The second point I want you to see this morning, it's life, not death. Life, not death. Look at verses 17 through 19. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Life, not death. This stand that Paul is making in a defense of his faith, he understands this. He's no longer bound by the law. He says, even the Jewish people, when they see what we're doing now, they're going to call me a sinner. You know, I used to know the law. I used to preach the law. I used to defend the law. And when they see us, they're going to call us a sinner. And here's what Paul says. In verse number 17, he says, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Of course not. God is not in the laws and in every dot and tittle of the law anymore, because Jesus Christ is the answer to the law. The freedom from the law that was found in Jesus is something the Gentile believers would welcome, and the Jewish people to this day have yet to welcome. And so what we understand is this: there are so many people that are trapped in religion. Listen to me, church. We can be guilty of that. You can sit there and say, well, I go to church every Sunday. That don't save you. That doesn't mean you're saved. Going to church is not salvation. Going to church is worship. It is what we should do if we are saved. But just because people go to church doesn't mean you're saved. So what happens is people think, okay, I'm going to church, I'm doing a good thing, therefore I must be godly and I must be saved. And here is the truth. It doesn't mean you're saved. But what did Paul say about the law? He said, I died to it. As I examined my life in light of the law, he realized he could not live up to it. And he says in verse number 18, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I try to go back and follow that law because I know the law will not save you, I'm a transgressor of that. So what does he say in verse number 19? He says, I'm dead to the law that I might live with God, live unto God. And so here is my stand this morning. I'm not telling you don't come to church. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, be careful of the belief, of the thought of just because I do good and just because I am good and just because I do the right thing, I'm saved, I'm okay. Because here's the reality, we are not. That law, those rules push people away. I'm gonna give you a real life example. Me and my family love to camp. And so we, a few years back when our kids were smaller, They're teenagers now. They don't do all that wandering and all that fun stuff anymore. But we went to this campground for the very first time. We were excited. We booked our reservations. We went to this campground, checked in, got the list of weekend activities to do. We were excited to sit back and relax. Y'all know that what that feels like? Okay, I just make sure we were just gonna relax. And our boys are still toddling around. They're probably 5-6 years old, so they're running around getting into everything. And quickly we begin to look at all the signs around. In that campground, a place that we thought we were relaxed, here were the rules, some of the rules that were listed. No running. No riding bikes here. I can't even read my handwriting here. No fishing. And everywhere we looked, it was no, 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 no. And so here's what I told my wife. I said, did we come to relax or wrangle the kids all weekend? You can't tell two boys not to run. In the wide open campground, no running. That's hogwash. Write that down. I'm all for having rules. I want you to know that. I think we need to have rules. We need to have guidelines. But here's what it was. It's still a running joke with our family. There were so many rules, it was not relaxing. I had to stay on edge to make sure my boys didn't break the rules. And that's what it's like with the law. It's so much, it ties you down instead of giving you freedom. And that's Paul's defense here. It brings death instead of life. But here's what Paul says. I have life because I have faith in Jesus Christ and I live for him. One more point very quickly. Look at verses 20 and 21. You know this verse, some of you, this may be your life verse. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Some harsh words there as Paul writes. Here's the last point Paul makes. It's Christ, not me. Christ, not me. So we have faith, not the law. We have life, not death. And Paul says, Christ, not me. What does this mean? That means as Jesus changed Paul's life, there are some things that had to die. And so this morning, there may be some things in this room or people that are watching live stream, things that must die. Sometimes pride needs to die. Sometimes what we think about ourselves needs to die. Those things need to be buried. And Paul, speaking of dying to the law, he says the only way I could die to the law is I was crucified with Christ. Let me ask you real quick this morning, what's your identity? As you sit here this morning, what's important to your identity? Well, it's easy for me to stand up in here and say, man, I want to be a good dad. But part of me being a good dad is realizing that I'm not going to be a perfect dad. I'm not going to get it all right. I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. I still want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I'm far from perfect. But listen, this month, May, we'll celebrate 20 years together with the same woman. God bless her soul for that. But here's what I want you to tell. I'm not the perfect husband. I want to be a good pastor. I want to get it right. I don't want to stumble over words, and I realize I do that more than I don't. But here's what I want you to understand. As Paul surveys his life, his identity says this: the old man has died. The man that loved the law and lived for the law and shared the law and defended the law, that man is dead because of Jesus. And here's the reality: we must die too. There is a death that must take place in every person's life. You've got to die to sin in order for Jesus Christ to live through you. So his identity, first he says, I'm dead. Look at verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, I'm everything. The old man's dead, but I'm still alive. How am I alive? Look at verse number 20. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The new man or the new woman is Christ living through you. We don't have a little button, Christians. If you're a Christian today, we don't have a little button we can flip off and say, I want to be like Jesus today, or I want to be like the old man. That's what Christians do. That's not what Christians are supposed to do. What Paul is saying and defending his faith in Jesus Christ is, I'm no longer the Paul that you knew, because Jesus Christ now owns and lives through me. I want everything that I say and everything that I do to bring glory to one person and one person alone, and that is Jesus. And so today, I ask people that I love, is Jesus living through you? Is Jesus living in you? Are you able to say three words? Christ, not me. And that's what I want every day and the measures of my day to be seen. I want Jesus Christ to be seen and lived out through my life. He says, I live because of Jesus. So today, I'm boiling this down. I've skipped a lot, and I'll have to come back and fill in the gaps in a later sermon. But here is the question. Does Christ live in you today? You witnessed a miraculous thing in this baptistry as people surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And they're saying, Jesus, I want you to live through my life. Maybe today in the pews, we can rededicate. In the pulpit, I want to rededicate my life. To say, Jesus, live more through me today than you've ever have. And I have to surrender that. I have to die to that. Today, brothers and sisters, will you die so that Jesus can live through you? Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus as Savior. This is not a preacher twisting your arm. My prayer right now is the Holy Spirit will work. Maybe my job is just to plant the seed. And that seed is this: Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he is the only way that one day you will stand before a righteous and holy God and ever have a chance. That word justified, we are only justified, we are declared not guilty because of the work of Jesus Christ. And today, if you've never surrendered to him as Savior, maybe that is the step that you need to pray about, you need to strongly consider, and here's what the preacher would tell you, you need to do it today before you leave this church, because you're not promised another breath. You can't wait, you can't get it right today. You're not too bad. You've not done too much wrong. You're not too far away. Jesus' love transcends it all. And that love is what will save you today. Today, if you will surrender, come to him in faith and say, Jesus, I just want you to live in me. I acknowledge my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. I trust and believe in you. And I want to live my life by the faith that you now give me. Today, that will change your life. Whatever you need today, I pray the Lord Jesus will meet you in these moments. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this moment. God, I thank you just for an opportunity to share your truth of your word. And God, today, in only the way that you can, I pray that you take a sermon that's been on fast forward and slow it down for the hearts of the people. God, I pray in these moments that I believe you're working right now, and men and women know right now where they stand with you. God, I pray in these moments, Lord, your Holy Spirit will work. And God, I pray, Lord, that above all, if there's one in need of you as Savior, Lord, that you will do that work of the calling in these moments. God, thank you for your amazing grace, the opportunity to witness miracle of rebirth in our presence today. And God, I pray that you will continue your work in the life of your people as we shine the light bright for Jesus here. Lord, we want to be careful to say we love you. And we want to live for you for the rest of our days. Change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.